This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue the remembrance of the morning and the evening, and we are up to number 13, the 13th dhikr. And this is narrated by عبد الرحمن ابن أبي أبزا رضي الله عنه and أبي ابن كعب رضي الله عنه. They both said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا إذا أصبح أحدنا أن يقول أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام وعلى كلمة الإخلاص وعلى دين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى ملة أبينا إبراهيم حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, he narrated and he said in this hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach us that if we reach the morning, we should say this following dhikr. So this is a hadith that was narrated by al-Tabarani, and it is authenticated by al-Imam al-Nawawi, Ibn Hajar, al-Imam al-Albani, and others. May Allah azza wa jal bestow His mercy upon them. And take note that this dhikr is to be said only once during the morning. And the morning, of course, starts from after Salat al-Fajr. And it is not to be said in the evening with the word Amsayna ala fitrat al-Islam. This is not to be said in the evening. And that is because the narration that mentions the evening is a weak narration, very weak narration. And the other reason is that this dhikr, the entire thing is a renewal of your covenant between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is that you worship Him alone and no one else. That's what this dhikr, its central message is that. And this renewing of the covenant and agreement between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, that you remain a Muslim, happens from the very beginning of the moment of the day when you wake up. So the idea is, this is to be said once and only in the morning. And in this narration, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُنَا. He used to teach us. And once again, as we've always been saying, that teach us, يُعَلِّمُنَا, doesn't only mean he taught them the words. يُعَلِّمُنَا, he also taught them the meaning of what they are saying. So when they say it, they are fully aware of that which they are saying. And once you're aware and understand the meaning of what you're saying, you have a better chance to live by those words. As opposed to someone who says something and doesn't know what it means. How does he have a chance to live that day by what he said? There won't be any chance. And so this is why you might see someone reciting al-adhkar, had no understanding, and then during the day he's doing things that oppose what he said in the morning. So this is why it is important to memorize. If you can't memorize, you read from the book, and then to understand most importantly, and then after that, to implement that which you have understood. Now this dhikr, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is made up of four parts, and they are all huge blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. So once you say this dhikr, and you recite it in the morning, you are actually reminding yourself of Allah's huge favors upon you. And you are being extremely grateful for what Allah Azza wa Jal has guided you to of these blessings. That's the attitude in how you recite this dhikr. That's the approach. These are blessings you're being reminded of, and you're extremely grateful for Allah Azza wa Jal that He has guided you to these four matters. The first one, أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام. We have entered the morning upon the fitrah of Islam, upon the natural, pure religion of Islam. Asbahna, we have entered the morning. Wa asbahna would obviously mean that that begins after Adhan al-Fajr. And more recommended, after Salat al-Fajr, you begin with these adhkar. على فطرة الإسلام. You are acknowledging and you are renewing this contract with Allah that, oh Allah, I'm beginning my day today and I declare that I am upon the pure natural religion of Islam. Al-fitrah, when we say al-fitrah is something that is pure, something that is natural, and it has never been changed and distorted. That's what al-fitrah is, right? When Allah Azza wa Jalla, He speaks about the creation of the heavens and the earth, He says, فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the originator of the heavens and the earth. Because from the day He created it pure and He created it perfect. And it's unchanged since. So the idea of the fitrah is that Allah Azza wa Jal created us from the very beginning pure. We had no sin. We didn't worship anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jal. We didn't know anything except La ilaha illallah when we came out. That is the pure fitrah that Allah Azza wa Jal created us upon. And that, of course, is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah Azza wa Jal, He speaks in Surah Al-A'raf about this incident. He says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He took the generations, all of us, we were there as souls. He took us from the back of Adam alayhi salam. And He dispersed them all before Him. We were all there. The worst and the best among us. All the prophets were there, the messengers, the righteous, the noble, the sinners, the rebellious, all of them were there. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He said to all of us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? We all responded by saying, بَلَى شَهِدْنَا, yes, indeed, we bear witness to the fact that you are our Lord. Now, of course, you can't remember that. You can't remember what you ate last week. How are you going to remember this incident that happened before your body even existed? So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in the Quran. And He tells us why He mentions it. He says, أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So that you don't come on the Day of Judgment and use the excuse and say, I was heedless about this matter. I can't remember it. Of course, you can't remember it. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned it in the Quran. See that? When Allah created us as a soul, and we said, yes, you are our Lord, we will commit to your worship, بَلَا شَهِدْنَا, that is al-fitrah. That's when al-fitrah was installed into the human being. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commands the believers in the Quran. He says, direct your face towards this religion, inclining to the absolute truth. Then Allah said, adhere to the fitrah of Allah upon which He created all mankind. Adhere to the fitrah. What is the fitrah? We just said, La ilaha illallah, that your Lord is Allah and none to be worshipped except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqim wajhak, direct your face. In other words, you have nothing else to look at. Don't look in any other direction, for any other way, for any other religion. Face in front of you and walk straight ahead into this path of al-fitrah that you were created upon. Don't change anything. Don't distort anything. You were born pure. You were born natural. You were born knowing who Allah Azza wa Jal is. Once you grow up and you have an intellect and you can listen and you can understand, all you have to do now is to listen to Allah's command and implement. Don't change anything. The system is ready. It's ready to accept. There are difficulties, there are struggles, but that is all rewarded for. And that is all a purification, because during this process, you will sin, you will disobey. So you'll need cleansement. So these difficulties in life would purify you. The Prophet ﷺ said, also يعني, reaffirming this meaning, he said, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَيُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. There is not a single person that is born except that he is born upon a pure, natural, true faith. And that is al-Islam, the worship of Allah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. But then it is his parents that will convert this child into Judaism or Christianity, Christian, يعني he becomes a Christian, or Maganism, Al-Majusiyya. But you notice the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say in the hadith and that his parents might convert him to Islam. This wasn't mentioned. Why? Because you were already born upon Islam. So that is not mentioned. You stay as you are, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, then nothing changes in that case. People are born upon the fitrah, upon a pure state. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَإِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءَ وَإِنَّهُمْ أَتَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, I created my slaves, my servants, as having a natural inclination to worshipping Allah. خَلَقْتُهُمْ حُنَفَاءَ. That's how Allah created us as a soul when we existed. Then the devils, they came. They were released. And they turned them away from the right religion. So it was a shayateen that inspired and whispered into the people to divert from the correct path, from the natural path of Islam. And the people obeyed the shaytan. They obeyed the shaytan. Wallah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he said, أَلَمْ أَعَهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah Azza wa Jal already warned us about الشيطان. He said, do not worship him, do not obey him. So people were created upon a pure religion. And those who diverted from Islam to something else, they have worshipped and obeyed the shaytan in that. Okay. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he speaks about al-fitrah, he said it's the default and the natural love that we have for Allah and the eagerness to submit to His command. And this is a blessing. This indeed is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, that you wake up every morning ala fitrat al-Islam. A huge blessing. To wake up and you are upon the pure religion of Islam. And wallah, by far, the greatest calamity on earth is to wake up upon disbelief and misguidance. And this has become a common reality, especially in this day and age of intense fitan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the end of time, he said, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. He said, hurry up and rush into doing righteous deeds before fitan, trials appear. And these fitan, these distractions from the path of Allah, that's what a fitna is, will become, they will be so black and dark, pitch black, you will not be able to distinguish between guidance and misguidance, the falsehood and the truth, Iman and Kufr, Sunnah and innovation. You won't be able to distinguish. That's how dark it is. That's how intense the fitna is. During those times when the fitna are so dark, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated a reality that would happen among the people. He said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا أَوْ يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. A person would enter the evening upon disbelief. And he will wake up the next morning upon Iman and Islam. Or he will wake up in the morning upon disbelief, and that very same evening he will become a disbeliever. You see, the idea is, the greatest era of deception and falsehood is the era that we are living in today. And that is because the means and the tools and the services that deceive are abundant and plenty. And they are the social media, the online world, the news, the radio, the podcasts, the shows. Even if you went in for a haircut, you might see news. Information is being streamed. This is the world that we live in. A lot of people have opinions. A person, without realizing, might be hearing 50 to 60 to 100 people a day and hearing different opinions, not knowing how to filter the misguidance from the guidance. You see, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in a hadith that the time will come in which they will be referred to and known as sanawatun khadda'at, years of deception. Deception. The false fabricator will be trusted and the trustworthy person would be rejected. These are the times, right? And how does this happen? Deception. Deception. يُمْسِي كَافِرْ وَيُصْبِحْ مُؤْمِنْ. You know, in the past, if a person wanted to go from disbelief to Iman, it'll take days, weeks, years, months. Or going from Iman to Kufr, it'll take months. But he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is saying that in less than 24 hours, a person would wake up a believer and enter the evening a disbeliever. And in between his iman and kufr, what is there? Yani, in between, he woke up a mu'min. And at the end of the night, he's a kafir. What happened in between this time? Sins, disobedience, doubts. He exposed himself to a lot of misguidance. And he lost his path during the evening. And then he might enter the evening either a disbeliever or a believer. How does that happen? But the evening, the night is time to sleep. It's time for sleep. It's time for rest. But this day and age, the night time, access. Social media is there. People are not utilizing the time for it was. Just before a person sleeps, he's watching a podcast, watching deviation, doesn't know, watching, listening to opinions. From a few hours of what he hears, it's perhaps 10 seconds of a doubt that creeps in his mind and destroys his deen. And that's how he enters the evening a disbeliever. Then he wakes up the next morning, maybe he's received a clip on WhatsApp, opens it, sounds good, mashallah, al-Islam, la ilaha illallah, and he's entered Islam again. Then that very same evening, he comes across something that totally messes his deen and his guidance, and he believes it, and he's a disbeliever once again. I think, wallahu a'lam, that this hadith of yumsi kafiran wa yusbihu mu'mina wa yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran is for a time like this, in where the information is so much and in abundance that a person cannot identify what's true and what's not true. And as a result, he falls into these matters. So as I said, waking up upon the pure religion of Islam is a huge blessing. So this is what you're supposed to be remembering when you say, أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام. And to make sure that you keep away from tools that could be a possibility to misguide you and deviate you from the pure path of Islam. The believer takes his deen from Al-Quran or Sunnah and from people that are qualified in discussing Al-Islam. Not from TikTok and not from reels on Instagram and other social media. That's not a platform to take your deen primarily. Anyone who does that exposes his heart to deviation. And you're at your own risk. Just like we're not allowed to drink alcohol because it intoxicates the mind, we're also not allowed to expose ourselves to doubts that will also misguide the mind and the heart. And it is better to drink alcohol and become intoxicated and then find the next morning than to go and read something that messes with your mind and your heart and misguides you, and as a result there's a doubt in your heart that you cannot be cleared of. You drink alcohol a few hours and you're cleared. But you put into your mind a doubt, who's going to clear that up for you? If you never found the satisfying answer, you exposed yourself to harm. Therefore, when you say أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام, understand that this is a huge blessing Allah has given you. You've woken up for another morning to say La ilaha illallah, and you don't feel any doubt in your heart, and you haven't come across any content that is misguiding you. Alhamdulillah, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you know that there is a virus in such and such town, would you go to it? You wouldn't. If they tell you there's a virus in this town, wallah, you wouldn't step foot. Why, and I'm healthy, why am I going to go there and expose myself to harm and danger? That's what the majority of people would have and what approach they will have. It's the very same thing. Why would you put yourself in dangerous information? When you step into the social media world and spend hours and hours on it, not knowing who you're following, what you're following, right? The majority sometimes of people, when they hear a speaker and they just loved a point, what's his name? Khalas, it opens up a new door for them. He goes straight to that source, and in the social media, that's how it works. Follow. So follow meaning this content becomes in your face 24 hours. listening to everything they have and every opinion they have of every matter there is out there. Why do you step into a world that can destroy you spiritually? Just like you wouldn't step into a town that has a virus, you shouldn't be doing this here as well. The matter is no joke. The matter is a serious matter. Well, Islam is supposed to be taken from its original sources. But I tell you, what's the problem today? How come people become misguided on social media and so on? Because people did not understand that their heart should be attached to the wahi and not to people. That's where the problem occurred. The preachers of Islam, the scholars of Islam, must continue to teach the people to attach to al-wahi, to the Quran or Sunnah. That is what is free of sin and mistake. As for the people, there is no attachment to anyone. Besides, of course, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no attachment to anyone. The moment you attach to someone and you detach from the wahi, that's the start of your misguidance. The start of your misguidance. Look at the story of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was among his people. They were all good, fine. The moment he stepped away from them and went to Allah Azza wa Jal, you know what happened to his people? Allah Azza wa Jal would say to him, فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ وَأَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to him, we have tested and trialed your people after you have left them. And as-samiri, this individual, he has caused them misguidance. And they went from tawheed to complete shirk. And they began to worship a calf. Why? The second a prophet walked away from them, they were not attached to the wahi. Look what happened. They were became misguided. And that's the same thing. When a scholar dies, or when a preacher goes, and people are left, they were attached to him. So the moment he went, khalas. That's it. They weren't attached to the wahi. Now they will source their guidance from anyone. Anyone who takes the platform, they'll follow him. Bani Israel, as-Samiri came, he took the platform and they followed him. This is the same thing today. Who takes the platform today on social media? Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam, every 2-3 days someone pops up with a large following. And people get excited, let's follow, let's see what he has. Exposing their heart more and more to disbelief and to doubts. So you need to be very, very careful in how these matters are followed and how they are used. So, أَصْبَحْنَا عَلَى فِطْرَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Then, the next thing, and this is the second blessing that we are reminding ourselves of and acknowledging. وَعَلَى كَلِمَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. And we have entered the morning upon the statement of pure faith. كَلِمَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ, the word of sincerity, which is what? La ilaha illallah. That is what kalimat al-ikhlas is. It is the word of at-tawheed. It is the word that we have been commanded to preserve and safeguard every living moment of our life. During the day and during the night, during our prayer, after the prayer, and even when sinning, even if you are sinning, you are still declaring within your heart, La ilaha illallah. You're still a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are still a slave. Don't be fooled by the shaitan to think that if you commit a sin, at this moment you have detached from the word La ilaha illallah. You are a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal in every moment and every situation of your life. That's how the believer treats this matter. So that after a person has come to his realization, after the sin, he quickly turns to Allah and makes a tawbah and refreshes his commitment upon La ilaha illallah. And the greatest blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal upon mankind is that he taught them La ilaha illallah. Surah Al-Nahl, the surah of the bee, it's also known as Surah Al-Ni'am, the surah of blessings, because it lists many, many blessings. The very first blessing that Allah mentions in Surah Al-Nahl, he mentions it first because it's the greatest. He said, ينزل الملائكة بالروح من أمره على من يشاء من عباده أن أنذروا أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاتقون. The idea of لا إله إلا أنا. He mentioned this as the first blessing in the surah because it's the greatest of them. That Allah Azza wa Jal sent prophets to deliver the message of La ilaha illallah, of Kalimatul Ikhlas. And when we say Kalimatul Ikhlas, Al-Ikhlas means sincerity. Meaning anyone who says La ilaha illallah becomes sincere. Must become sincere. And sincerity is opposite to ostentation, showing off. And it is also opposite to arrogance. Anyone who says La ilaha illallah becomes sincere. Because anyone who says La ilaha illallah must follow the teachings of Allah. And anyone who follows the teachings of Allah naturally is humbled. But the one who rejects La ilaha illallah, no matter how good his manners are and how he seems to be around in the real world, he is arrogant. As Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Allah says, when they are told to say La ilaha illallah, Allah didn't say they reject, they lie. He said they become arrogant. So, Kalimatul Ikhlas. I've woken up upon the sincere word, La ilaha illallah. And when you say this and you declare it in the morning, you are reminding yourself of the humility that the believer is supposed to have. And that attachment to La ilaha illallah keeps him away from arrogance. The third matter that is mentioned in this dhikr, and it is also a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And we have entered the morning upon the religion of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another huge, great blessing. What is deen nabiyyina? What is the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Al-Islam. Why? Why do we declare this? Why do we willingly enter into the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Anyone who takes a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The only true, correct, accepted deen with Allah Azza wa Jalla is the religion of Islam, the religion of submission. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I have completed your religion. And then he said, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And I am pleased with Islam as your deen. This is why we willingly enter into Islam, because Allah is pleased with it. And the believer is pleased with that which Allah is pleased with. Therefore, this is why we are proud to say, وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Also, when we say, دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا, you also recognize and acknowledge that there is a reference to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a reference to sunnatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his practices. So how can someone say that I enter the morning upon the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the very same day he begins to innovate in the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These two things are not compatible. They don't go together. And this is an example of someone who says something, doesn't understand what he said, and then throughout the day carries on with innovations, going against that which he said in the morning. أَصْبَحْنَا عَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا, meaning multazimin. We enter the morning committed upon the religion and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why do we have to adhere to the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The best of guidance is the guidance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every other practice is misguidance if it doesn't come from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I want to mention to you a few matters and scenarios of the companions and how their submission to Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Just so that you can be aware of where they were and where we are. And what you're supposed to rush to when you hear a Sunnah or a command of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this. Rafi' ibn Khadij radiyallahu anhu, he said, كنا نحاقل الأرض في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, we used to do al-Muhaqala. Al-Muhaqala meaning you own a land, a huge land. And it's good for agriculture, you can grow on it. But you as an owner of the land have no clue how to grow and how to look after this and how to irrigate the land and so on. It's not your thing. So you get a farmer, an expert, and you say to him, look, take a quarter of the land for you and then work three quarters of the land for me. Farm it for me and look after it and give me its produce. And the cost is a quarter of the land. Then the uncle of Rafi' ibn Khadij, he came to Rafi' and he said to him, Nahana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-muhaqala. He says to him, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid this matter. He forbid this matter. There's reasons for why he forbid, but I'm getting to the point. So Rafi', he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid us of a matter, kana nafi'an lana. It was beneficial for us. وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أَنْفَعُ لَنَا. He said, but our obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is much more beneficial for us. See the attitude? He can realize a benefit. He was benefiting. The farmers there took a quarter of the land, no problems, you're farming the rest, I'm benefiting. But he said, for me to leave this practice and follow the command of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be much more beneficial for me, because I am now being true when I say wa ala deeni nabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that one word you said in the morning, his entire life changed. That's what it means when you're going to make this commitment in the morning. You know when the Qibla changed? The Qibla changed in Masjid Quba. There were believers that were praying in Masjid Quba when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received the instruction of changing the direction from Baytul Maqdis, from Jerusalem, the holy house there, to the Kaaba, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a companion. He said, go to the companions in Quba and tell them that the Qibla has changed to Al-Kaaba. So he rushed and he got there. And he announced among the people, and they were praying Salat al-Asr. He said to them, the Qibla has changed. Face Al-Kaaba. As they were praying, they all turn around 180. And the Imam walks right in between until he gets to the other side and he faces the Kaaba and they pray. Look at the rush in obeying the command of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say, okay, look, we're in khushu' now and preserving the khushu' of the salat is much more important than listening to this person. Well, wait, maybe there's 2-3 more rak'at left and then we'll give the matter a thought. And then, even if we have to repeat the prayer, we'll repeat it, no problems. No, khalas, the command came immediate. I'm sharing these with you because when you say in the morning, وَعَلَىٰ دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ, you need to understand what kind of submission is required. Immediate submission. That is what is required. Jabir ibn Sulaym radiyallahu anhu, he said, he came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, اِعْهَدْ إِلَيَّ عَهْدَ. He said, teach me something. Teach me something that I can adhere to and commit to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا. Don't curse and insult anyone. So then Jabir says, from the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to me, I never ever cursed or insulted a human, an animal, nor a slave. Never, forever, khalas. Not 1 or 2 days, forever. Shuf, submission. Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say once, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْهَاكُمْ أَنْ تَحْلِفُوا بِآبَائِكُمْ. Allah forbids you from taking an oath by your forefathers. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, wallahi, I never took an oath by any of my forefathers since I heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that. Khalas, complete submission. That's what it means when you're going to say in the morning, وَعَلَى مِلَّتِي وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take the example of Ibn Umar. And I want to think how difficult this is, but look at the submission. He says that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا حَقُّ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ لَهُ شَيْءٌ يُوصِي فِيهِ يَبِيتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ إِلَّا وَصِيَّتُهُ عِنْدَهُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is not befitting for any Muslim for 3 days to pass by and he hasn't written his wasiyyah. His wasiyah has to be written. Of course, look, the matter of the wasiyah, the Islamic will, is only recommended if you owe someone something or you have a right that you owe someone. That's when it is recommended to write the wasiyah. But if you have nothing and no one is claiming anything from you and you are free from the rights of people, then it's permissible to write a wasiyah. It's not recommended in that case, right? That's when it's recommended. So Ibn Umar, he said, ما مرت علي ليلة منذ سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ذلك إلا وعندي وصيتي. He said, not a single night passed from the day the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said that except that my wasiyya was written. Ibn Umar lived 40 years after the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know how difficult this is? You've taken something, you've given back, you need to amend, change. You receive something, you take something, you got to amend and change what I have, what I owe people, what I have, what... For 40 years, and he is amending and changing and taking it. Why? Just because of a few words in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. That is what is meant by deeni nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need to follow, you need to follow, and you need to submit. And you need to submit because he said so. That's it, no other reason. Yani look at the hadith of Ubayd ibn Juraysh. He's a tabi'i radiallahu anhu. He was the student of Ibn Umar. And he noticed something of Ibn Umar during Mecca, during al-Hajj time. He said, Taymi ibn Umar, ra'aytuka tasna'u arba'an lam ara min ashabika yasna'unaha. I saw you do four things and all your companions didn't do these four things. He said to him, I saw you touching the black stone and the rukn al-yamani, two pillars of the Kaaba, and that's all. And I saw you, talbasu al-ni'al al-sabtiyah. I saw you wearing footwear that is made from deer skin that is hairless. That's what he used to wear. وَرَأَيْتُكَ تَصْبَغُ بِالصُّفْرَةِ. And I saw you dyeing either your beard or your clothing with a yellow color. And I saw you, إِن كُنْتَ بِمَكَّةَ أَهَلَّ النَّاسُ إِذَا رَأَوْا الْهِلَالِ وَلَمْ تُهِلَّ إِلَّا يَوْمَ التَّرْوِيَةِ. And I saw also when you were there in Hajj, when the people saw the moon of Dhul Hijjah, they entered into their state of ihram and said, Labbayka Allahumma Hajjah. And you didn't do so until the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah. You entered your ihram and you said, Labbayka Allahumma Hajjah. So can you explain? Why are you doing this? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, as for you seeing me touching only the two pillars, that's because that's what I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. As for wearing the footwear that is made of deer skin, that's because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing so and I love to do so. Watch, this is footwear. It's just a customary practice. There's no worship in this. He said, I love to do so. He said, and I dye my beard or my clothing in the same color because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do so. And he says, I entered the state of ihram on the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so. See his answers? All of them is because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did so. What is he teaching his student? He's teaching him to adhere to Sunnah the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's what it means to say wa ala millati wa ala dini nabiyyina Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The question is, do you have anything in your life? If someone or your child was to ask you, why do you do this? That you can say because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did so? Is there anything in your life that you have, in which if you are asked about it, your immediate answer would be because that's Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is a question for you to think about and to begin to introduce practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life, so that if you are ever asked about them, your answer is because he did so. And I love to do what he did. Now, that's the idea. But even this kind of submission and commitment onto Sunnah al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on different levels when it comes to the companions. Yani, look at also Ibn Umar. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once sitting in al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And he looked at the door in the back of the masjid. And there were men and women gathered at that door, go in and out. For Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, لو تركنا هذا الباب للنساء. Why don't we leave that door for women? Yani, men go from the other side and leave that door for women. There's no command here. There's no prohibition. He just stated what he desired, what he wanted. And that door which right now is in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. It comes from, يعني, when you come out of the grave, visiting the grave under Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bab al-Baqi'a, behind it is Bab Jibril, behind it is Bab al-Nisa, it's called Bab al-Nisa now. During the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, it was Umar who said, this door is for women, no man to enter it. But Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, from the day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just made an expression and said, if only we can keep that door for women, he said, I never entered it ever since. It wasn't even forbidden, but he said, khalas. That's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted and thought, I adhere to that. Shuf, what is this? You want to say in the morning, وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. You better be ready during that day and night to be true to that word and any sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that gets to you, you incline and you adhere to it. Yeah, and you take this story of Anas radiallahu anhu. I'll give you two more on this, but these are examples that you will see what happens with them. Anas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that a man invited the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to his house for food. And this man had made for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam khubzan min sha'irin wa maraqan fihi dubba'un wa qadid. This man, he cooked a dish for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was made of barley bread, and there was like soup on top of it, and then there was pumpkin there, and there was qadid. Qadid is the meat and bread that is mixed together. That was the famous dish. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam go after the pumpkin in the plate. He was eating that. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I loved the pumpkin from that day onwards. He said, فَلَمْ أَزَلْ أَحِبُّ الدُّبَاءَ مِنْ مُنْذُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. And I continued to love pumpkin ever since that day. Yani, you see, everyone's taste buds are different. But to now make what you taste in love with that which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved of taste, that's a different level of following the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He literally changed whatever his taste buds were upon to love what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ate. And one more example of this, and that is the example of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took by my hand to his house. He invited me. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought out three loaves of bread, and they were hard, they were stale, because it's not like what we have today, soft and flexible bread. It was hard. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his wife Aisha, أَفِي الْبَيْتِ إِدَامِ. Is there a dip in the house, something we can dip the bread with? So she said, مَا عِنْدَنَا إِلَّا الْخَلِّ. We only have vinegar. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bring the vinegar. Vinegar. Imagine putting bread in vinegar. He said, bring the vinegar out. فَجَعَلَ يَأْكُلُ بِهِ وَيَقُولُ نِعْمَ الْإِدَامُ الْخَلِّ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to dip this bread into vinegar and eat it and say, how excellent of a dip is this vinegar. How excellent it is. How excellent of a condiment is vinegar. And he would dip and eat. هو, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, نِعْمَ الْإِدَامُ الْخَلِّ. He's saying that so that he can make his wife Aisha radiallahu anha comfortable, and so that she doesn't stress over the fact that we had nothing except vinegar. Who dips bread in vinegar? But that was the only thing. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being appreciative of this blessing that there is in the house. So he's saying ni'mal idamul khal, yani just to break the situation and for everyone not to feel stressed out. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, I loved vinegar. Since I heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say ni'mal idamul khal. And then Talha, he said, I loved vinegar since I heard that from Jabir radiallahu anhu. What is this? This is not even a worship. This is food. And then I'm not telling you to love vinegar and to love pumpkin and to so on. What we're saying is you want to wake up and say wa'ala deen nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you need to understand that there is a way that you must adhere to and follow. Then and only you are true to your commitment of that morning. Subhanallah. And the final part of this dhikr, وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ أَبِينَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And we have entered the morning upon the way of our father Ibrahim. أَبِينَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Our father Ibrahim. What does it mean, our father? Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they have different opinions, but the common opinion among them is that a father, yani he's like a father figure to his people. Every prophet is like a father to his nation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." And there is a recitation, and it is يعني شاذ وهو أب لهم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is a father of theirs, a father of theirs. Meaning he's in that position of being a father. Not يعني in terms of lineage, from a lineage perspective. Okay, so that's أبينا إبراهيم. Ibrahim is our father from that perspective. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was this man that we mention his name in this dhikr as opposed to all the other prophets? And he has a great mention during our worships. In At-Tahiyyat wa At-Tashahhud, we mention his name. And in this dhikr in the morning, we are mentioning his name. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, when we go to Mecca and we do a Umrah, there is something there that is ascribed to him. What is it? What is it called? Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim, what is there in it? The footstep of Ibrahim. Yani, the people used to wipe that, right? Most of the footstep has been faded away. There's probably about 20% of the footstep left there, but they've enclosed it and they've closed it off from the people. Otherwise, it used to just be a rock among the people. His footstep is on it. Millions and millions of people around the world would come and they would push and shove just to see his footstep. Not his foot, his footstep, which is 80% faded. Who is this man that people are pushing and shoving just to see the footprint? This is a prophet that when we pray the two rak'at behind Maqam Ibrahim, that is symbolic of the fact that we are following in his footstep, because that's his footstep there. And a footstep, what does a footstep mean? Meaning you follow it. When you see a footstep, you follow it. The footstep means to follow. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's footstep is there. And when we pray the two rak'at behind it, we're making a refreshment and a commitment that we are going to follow in the footsteps of our father Ibrahim. So in the morning we are saying, wa ala millati abina Ibrahim. We wake up and we are going to follow the millah, the way of our father Ibrahim. Millati abina Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the only prophet that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to follow. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. We commanded and revealed to you to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is the way of Ibrahim? That's the question. What is the way of Ibrahim? Three things. And they are the ending of this dhikr. Hanifan, Musliman, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That's the millah of Ibrahim. The millah of Ibrahim is, number one, Hanifan. Hanifan meaning مَائِلًا عَنِ الْأَدْيَانِ الْمُنْحَرِفَةِ إِلَى دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Al-Hanif, Al-Hanaf, is to divert, to veer off from misguidance and false religions to the truth. That's what Al-Hanif is. So Al-Hanifiyah is to keep away from falsehood while being upon misguidance, while being upon guidance. To stay clear from falsehood, from falsehood and from misguidance, from deviance, and to be upon guidance, upon the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Al-Hanifiyah is. And Musliman, Musliman means to submit to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Muslim, wal-Islam is al-istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed, to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal and to no one else. That's what Musliman means. To submit only to Allah and to no one else. Not to the community, not to the society standard, not to any kind of law, not to even to your own desire. Let the one who submits to his own desire, that he is not Musliman, right? He's not Musliman. Al-Muslim is to submit to what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed of the truth. That's Musliman. That's the millah. That's the way of Ibrahim. By accepting the belief of At-Tawheed, and then by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then by disassociating from Ash-Shirk and its people. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That's the third one. Disassociate from the disbelievers and from their ways, and make a clear distinction between you and them. Can you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just a few days ago, we had Ashura, right? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I was to live to next year, I will fast a day before. Why? Why do we fast a day before Ashura, even though the event is on the 10th? So that we can be different to the Jews. And everyone knows this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned that we even be different to them when it comes to matters of religion. When it comes to matters of religion, be different to them. Imagine then when it comes to matters that are related to their religion, huh? Like Christmas and New Year's and Easter and whatever it is that they celebrate, and their customary practices and their traditions, and Muslims follow this and engage with these matters. And how is he disassociating from disbelief and its people? Then there is a contradiction. When you say, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and then you are following in their path and in their practice and in their habits. We're supposed to be different when it comes to matters of worship, let alone when it comes to matters of disobedience and rebellion. You're supposed to be far away from that. So this is something that, yani, when you understand it, then you're able to live by it. But the one who doesn't understand, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and disassociating from this belief, he will fall into these issues very easily and not be aware of this matter. The one who abandons the path of Ibrahim, which is the path of Tawheed, is declared by Allah Azza wa Jal as being a fool. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, it is only the foolish one that would abandon the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we as Muslims need to understand that the greatest matter in our life, the greatest blessings in our life, are these four things that were mentioned. Fitrat al-Islam, and you maintain and you preserve your Islam and you keep it pure and do not distort it and do not change it. And I told you of the social media world and how to protect yourself from that, because that is something that can dirty your Islam and destroy it for you. Asbahna ala wa ala kalimat al-ikhlas. And the second blessing we said was the pure word, the sincere word of la ilaha illallah, to understand it. When you say wa ala kalimat al-ikhlas, you know that this is a huge blessing. This is why we are recommended throughout the day to say it at least 100 times. And you are recommended to say it even more. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of people on the Day of Judgment are those who said it the most. That's the best of people because they lived the purpose of life. وَعَلَى كَلِمَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the third of these greatest blessings, that you enter the morning upon the religion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Islam. And we said there is a reference to Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within that. And then the great blessing of millati abina ibrahima hanifan musliman wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. These four matters are the fundamentals of the day. This is what a believer is supposed to be upon. So and my advice, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is to understand that this entire dhikr revolves around at-tawheed, your oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is incumbent upon the Muslim to always correct his tawheed and rectify it and renew it. And there is a book that I direct your attention to. It is called Kitab al-Tawheed. Kitab al-Tawheed, a book that compiles about 70 to 72 chapters, speaks about how a person can perfect and correct his tawheed. Very important. This is the book here. So Allah khair, see, mashallah, the brother already has it, probably purchased it. Mashallah, mashallah, that's right. So here, when you read this dhikr, you're going to realize that the entire dhikr is about at-tawheed. So how can a person not learn at-tawheed? How can you adhere to the correct religion if you don't know what it is? And here's a book, 72 chapters about how to perfect and correct your tawheed. So this is incumbent upon every Muslim. And many, many of the ulama wrote books of at-tawheed. This one, for example, is for Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah has a book. Imam al-Bukhari at the end of his at the end of Sahih al-Bukhari, he made a chapter, Kitab al-Tawheed. Many Kitab al-Tawheed in a lot of the books of hadith. So you purchase for yourself a copy or you download one and you read a chapter a day. In 2 months, you'll be finished. If things are difficult, you ask al-Mashayikh, the people of knowledge, so that they can explain the content for you, and you'll realize maybe there are things that you are falling into that oppose al-Tawheed. So you begin to rectify it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's commandment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Learn, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And this command is in Surah Muhammad. And Surah Muhammad came 13 years after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was appointed a prophet, because Surah Muhammad is a Madani surah, it came in Medina. In Medina, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's practiced at Tawheed all his life for that 10, 13 years. And then the first command Allah gives him, learn La ilaha illallah. The idea is you can never finish learning La ilaha illallah. The idea is you always need to replenish and refresh your Tawheed and your commitment upon La ilaha illallah. So this is an excellent book to purchase and to read with your family and to adhere to the teachings that are found within this book. They are all ayat from the Quran and a hadith from Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla in the end that He grant us steadfastness upon La ilaha illallah, that He cause our death upon al-Islam, upon La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He cause us to wake up upon al-Islam and to enter the evening upon Islam. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He admit us into the highest levels of the paradise, ma'an nabiyyin, al-siddiqin, al-shuhada, al-salihin. We ask Allah azza wa jal that He spare us His punishment, the hellfire, His curse, and His wrath, and His anger. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Our last lesson is going to be on Thursday, inshallah. So that's after tomorrow, and we'll take one more dhikr, and we'll explain it for this trip بإذن الله تعالى. And soon after that, I will be traveling. So we have one more lesson here in the masjid on Thursday. وجزاكم الله خيراً.